This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries. Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? When we're in church Sunday and sometimes they'll break people up to greet each other and we do that thing where everybody says, hi, how you doing? And, oh, I'm fine. They sit down and you know most of them are faking it. They're not doing fine. And I've had a rough morning and a lot of times there's a lot of spiritual warfare with what I do and what we do as a team. This morning I woke up around 3:30 in the morning and just couldn't sleep after that, tossing and turning and crazy thoughts. And I knew the enemy was messing with me. And some of the thoughts were dark that I don't want to mention. And I think I crawled out of bed around 5:15 this morning, and I was praying, and I had kind of an Elijah crash, as I call it, where, you know, when Elijah, after he had that wonderful powerful moment with God showing up in front of the nation of Israel, and fire coming down from heaven, and then Jezebel threatened to kill him, and then he ran. He ran, and which, you know, one woman threatened to kill him, but he ran, and then alone, God, I'm done. I've had enough. And this morning, I just felt tapped out, and there was some weeping involved. And I said, God, I'm tapped out. I don't have anything. And I even considered flirting with the idea of canceling coming in today. And then I realized I was in a real intense firefight. And the other thing that was going on is I heard multiple times in the last 24 hours, do not grow weary. I heard it yesterday at a church service we went to in the afternoon. And then I read it again in Oswald Chambers' writings for last night, where he talks about how Jesus went through 40 days alone in the desert with the wild animals and being attacked by Satan, and how Jesus, one of the tests was that he did not grow weary and exhausted and give up. He stood firm no matter what happened. And then so God was reminding me of these things, and I'll read from Hebrews 12:3. He reminded me of, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And growing weary and losing heart, there's a lot in that. And I was praying, okay, God, show me more of what losing heart means. And I went to the Barnes commentary. I think he wrote these back 300 years ago. And these are his comments. The meaning is, and this is about the less you be worried and faint part, that there is a great danger of being disheartened and wearied out by the opposition which you meet with. But with the bright example of one, Jesus Christ, who was never disheartened and who never became weary in doing the will of God, you may persevere. The best means of leading a faithful Christian life amidst the opposition which we may encounter is to keep our eyes steadily fixed on the Savior. And I was, for a couple moments, I was focused on how crummy I felt and my emotional state, and I was reminded to look up, to look to God, to look to Jesus for my strength. And sometimes when we can get so caught up in how miserable we feel, it can be like falling into a hole. And if we fall into that hole too long, it can start getting dangerous to where we just let depression or discouragement or fear or whatever feelings we're going through, bitterness, begin to overwhelm us. And that's when it can become dangerous. We can start making agreements with the enemy. And so I was struggling with that this morning. And literally, like I said, I was, God, if you want me to cancel today, I will. But he reminded me that don't lose heart. And I know you're tired right now. And with the ministry that we do, it can be very emotionally draining. There's a lot of output. There's a lot of output to do a show like this. I don't just sit here and rattle off Bible verses when I share. I'm sharing from my heart. Otherwise, to me, it's just a waste of time, because you can go and get a lot of head messages anywhere. And but for me, I want to speak from the heart to the heart, because this is where people live. And this is where the battle is won or it's lost. And then God also brought me to Galatians 6:3 this morning, or not 6:3, 6, verse 9. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Meaning, connected with the Hebrews verse, don't give up. No matter how hard it gets, don't give up. And I have some other things. Tonight we have planned a four-hour night of prayer, and I was really thinking, should I just cancel that? I just don't have the energy for it. But as I kept praying into it and seeking the Lord, he started calming me down and stabilizing my emotions. And then I started to see that part of the battle is what the enemy does when we're exhausted, is he tries to come to us and to give up. And something Oswald Chambers mentioned was about the enemy's trying to give up what we have been given. So we've been given sonship or daughtership in Christ. We've been given the inheritance in heaven. We are all forgiveness of sins by the blood of Christ. We're given all of these riches, and the enemy is trying to get us so weak, so tired, so discouraged that we just say, ah, heck with that. I can't do this. It's too hard. And you see the effects of these battles being lost all the time in the church today among Christians. Suicides in the church are going on. I've noticed a number of articles about pastors' wives who have committed suicide. I saw one article this week about a pastor who committed suicide after he was exposed for child porn. These battles are very real and intense. And the enemy isn't just coming to play games here. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I'm talking about these things and I think, am I some sort of a nut job? I mean, I don't hear this stuff talk about in church ever. We always act like we got it all together and that, oh, well, you know, God has given us the victory and it's yay, God, and it's easy. And, I don't know. I don't agree with that at all, because if you look at Jesus' life and how it ended, from a purely human perspective, it didn't end well. I mean, in the end, we know he was sacrificed for our sins, but we live in a time of darkness where the enemy is coming against a lot of people to try to destroy them and to push them into such a corner that they just lose hope. There's a number of people who have I've been corresponding with by email recently, including one out of the country, and they're in a very desperate situation. Chemically, they're struggling with depression. They're struggling with intense spiritual warfare. We go back and forth, and I'm praying for them every day, and they're asking me, is there really hope? Is God still with me? And the answer is always a resounding yes. God is with you. And the other part of this, God is with you part, is he's allowing you to go through this. Remember the book of Job. Everything is filtered through God's hands, including intense suffering and sorrow. And suffering and sorrow is a part of the Christian life. You can bank on it. If you're a blood-bought believer, son or daughter of Jesus Christ. If you're a lukewarm Christian, the enemy may be more prone to just leaving you alone because he wants to keep you in that nice, soft, comfortable place where you're not making a difference. You're not living your life with impact. Or maybe you're like the average American who spends 4.5 hours on the day on their phone, and maybe you binge watch The Chosen. And I don't think the enemy has a problem with any of that, watching Christian TV or going to Christian conferences. You can do that all you want, but as soon as you start getting on your knees and having a serious, spirit-filled, prayer-powered relationship with God, I find that that gets his attention. And in my own life, I've been trying to up my game with having more prayer and more time in the Bible. So normally I have somewhere around, I don't know, an hour with God in the mornings. As soon as I wake up, I start praying. And I know that prayer is powerful. And then at nights, after I eat, I've been trying to spend more time in the Bible and more time in prayer and walking with God outside at night. And these are the things that make us give us more spiritual power, but we have to make a decision to turn away from the entertainment and the things that choke us and the inputs of this world. So how's your prayer life? I've been asking God for discernment a lot lately, because in some of these spiritual battles that are very intense, I don't always see the right way to fight, at least not immediately. And one thing God showed me this morning after I started focusing more on Jesus was that what the enemy comes against is what I mentioned before, to steal what has been given to us. And so I literally started saying out loud, no, I am God's son. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm given the Holy Spirit. I was saying things like this. And so I was reaffirming of who I am. I'm not backing off. I'm not giving it up. And so we have to do this from time to time and stake our claim to who we are. We have to hold on tight to what we've been given. So I share these things because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are some of you who are going through hell and you're confused. And what is this? And how do I fight? And how do I cope with it? And the mistake some people make is we leave spiritual warfare out of a lot. So, well, you're depressed, so you need to, take medication, or you need to have more faith, or you need to get outside and walk. Which those things are very good things, especially about getting outside and a walk. But if you're under intense spiritual firefight, you have to be able to stand up and know how to stand up and take up your authority in Christ, and you have to be a prayer warrior and listen to what God is saying to you on how to overcome. So discernment and prayer and standing firm, these are all very important, just as not being isolated. It's so critical these days that there are no more isolated believers. We have to start taking active steps to eliminate isolation in the church. So if you're in that place, you're welcome to call the office, ask for prayer, or you can email and ask for prayer, but don't do this alone. I'm hoping you have a good buddy if you're going through a tough time, or a sister in Christ who you can email or text and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time right now. Will you pray for me? This is also critical. And unfortunately, I find with a lot of the people who come to us for help, they don't know a lot about spiritual warfare, and that is scary in a time like this. It's like being right smack in the middle of World War II and Germany, and bullets flying everywhere. And some people even have told us, is there even such a thing as spiritual warfare? And the enemy must be just laughing his butt off when he hears that. And I find that often spiritual warfare is almost talked about as much as porn and sex addiction and masturbation and those things in the church. When I'm talking about spiritual warfare, I don't mean doing a once every 3 years message on the armor of God from Ephesians 6. I'm talking about spending several months equipping your people on how to be prayer warriors and fighters who stand up and stand firm and can fight their way through the battles. That is so critical right now. So don't do this alone. Stand up, stand firm, don't give up, no matter how hard it gets. Don't give up. Remember who you are. You are a blood-bought son, daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him as your Savior, if you believe that he is the Son of God who died for your sins, who rose again from the dead, we are given the Holy Spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And my friends, his strength does best when we're weak. I think a lot of people have this idea that we're supposed to be running around with giddy smiles all the time. And if you think about the Apostle Paul in the life, he had it pretty rough. I mean, he got beat, he got stoned, and I mean, he got beat multiple times. And you think about Jesus, there was no one more, quote-unquote, on fire than Jesus. But he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was crying out to God for mercy and sweating blood. So part of being a sold-out follower of Christ is being able to set your forehead like flint and digging in. And don't feel like you've got to fake it. That's one of the worst things you can do. Ask for help. So the rest of the time I have for this broadcast, I just want to share a few stories and things I've been seeing lately in my personal life, but also in people we help. So my wife and I took a trip to Bisbee last weekend, and that's kind of a quaint, quirky little town used to be an old hippie culture, but a lot of that has kind of vanished over the years, along with the hippies, but it was fun to walk around. It's a small town. I don't remember the population. Maybe, I don't know, 5,000. I could be wrong, but it's not that big. And here, you know, it's been triple digits. Down there was in the 80s, so it was really nice to get a break. and we were in one place that had postings of meetings and things available for the local town. And one of the postings was for a medium offering to talk to the dead or to talk to spirits and tell you what the spirits are saying. And then, I mean, that was right out of a big 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And do you know how dangerous that is? Because if they're talking to the spirits, obviously, they're not going to be talking to the Spirit of God and doing that. So they're talking to the wrong spirits. They're talking up to the demonic realm and transferring that to the people who are in that. And I've mentioned this before, the occult is everywhere and it is continuing to grow, and we need to talk openly about this. We can't play ostrich on this. There's a lot of people who are playing with the occult, including in the church. And I mentioned recently how a recent Barna survey showed that I think it was 15% of Christians admitted to casting spells. These are evangelicals Christians we're talking about here. So the occult has penetrated the church. And then another 25% admitted to worshiping a spirit other than God. So we have to keep bringing this up and bring this up not only to adults but to our youth and give them clarity to this issue. You do not play with the demonic realm. And maybe that's why I was getting hit so hard this morning, because, you know, I opened these things up. And then my wife got hit on. My wife is in her 50s, and she got hit on by another woman. I wasn't there when it happened, but she told me about it. So that was a first. But otherwise, the weekend was pretty good. And I want to share a little bit about what we see lately. It's been increasingly, we're seeing more and more people with deeper and darker struggles. So sexual abuse is very common. One out of four women have been molested, and one out of six men. And so it's not uncommon for me to be working with an individual who has gone through that, man or woman, not just the women here, and or men who have gone outside and crossed boundaries with attraction to the opposite sex and got bored and decided, well, I'm bored with looking at porn about women. I'm going to look at porn that has men in it. And then they cross that line, and then they keep crossing lines. We've seen people have been trafficked in the past, abortions, people struggling with same-sex attraction. A friend of mine was a teacher at a Christian high school, and she told me that some years ago she asked her students to raise their hand if they struggle with same-sex attraction. She said 10% of them put their hands up. And you got to realize these are the 10% that are honest. So church leadership, hear me out here. You got to be talking about these sexual issues to your flock. So 60 to 70% of men viewing porn, 10% with same-sex attraction, 90% of youth struggling with pornography, 60% of youth having reporting sexting. Man, there is no justification for any church not talking openly about these things. It's not often we see this, but every once in a while we'll see bestiality, where somebody had sex with an animal, and it's not as rare as you might think. There are sexual crimes. Sometimes a disclosure is made where somebody has crossed the line and looked at child porn, and that is very dark and evil, and we have to warn people up front. Any disclosures like that, we have to report. And sometimes the disclosure comes from a spouse or a friend, and it's heartbreaking to see that, because now they're facing more than likely at least legal trouble, and maybe somewhere down the line prison time. And nobody wakes up one day and says, hey, I'm going to go looking at child porn and destroy my life. They're wandering around in the internet, looking for "quote unquote" safe porn, and the enemy knows where to place the triggers or the switches or the doorways or whatever you want to call it, the links, so that they fall into the wrong place at the wrong time, and then bam, they're caught in that trap, and you know it's illegal to possess those pictures on your computer. So once you start looking at that stuff, you've committed a felony. This is so very dangerous. And we have to warn our people, do not play with pornography. This will take you places you never thought it would. We were at a pastor's meeting yesterday here locally, and we had a table. And the very first woman who came to our table told me she lost her marriage to porn addiction. Several weeks ago, I interviewed Shannon Kay. She told me that in a women's group she went to, a women's Bible study or a conference, I remember what it was, mostly married women, she shared her struggles with her husband's porn and sex addiction. The women were stunned, and every woman around the table said the same thing. My husband, my marriage has the same thing. People, we cannot avoid the sexual issues. We got to plunge all the way into them. So my friends, Fighters, warriors, overcomers. I hope your church is equipping you in these areas, and that's a part of my goal with what we do with these radio broadcasts, my newsletters, everything I write is to equip you to be a fighter in a time that it is required. It's a must. So thank you for joining me, and we'll see you, friends, next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.